1600 ESPN, Spencer at Sports on a Football Friday edition of the show. It's our countdown to kickoff as we look ahead to all the big college and pro football games for the weekend. None bigger in the state of Iowa than the Iowa Hawkeyes heading to USC. I'm looking at the weather forecast. Our guest earlier in the week, Haley Sawyer, who covers the Trojans for the Southern California News Group, she was kind of hinted that the weather does not look great. And as we're sitting here this afternoon, it looks like a pretty good chance of rain again in California. I thought it was supposed to be sunny in California. It never rains in Southern California. Isn't that the song? I don't know. But the Hawkeyes are headed there. Whether it's sunny, whether it's storming, they're going to play the 17th-ranked USC Trojans. And good to catch up with Madison Horitzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talking a little bit earlier in the week, playing you back the conversation, because she is on her way or will be in sunny California, rainy
hopefully.
California.
Hopefully by the time this you play this, I'll
airs,
be in California.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll be in trouble if not.
That's true. You've had some flight challenges. We'll just leave it at that, considering everything that's going on. But you're headed to California. You told me it's your first time headed to L.A.
Yes. I went to the West Coast for the very first time right before I moved out here for this job. My family did a trip to Seattle, and then we did an Alaskan cruise. So that was the first time I'd ever been on the West Coast. The furthest west I'd been at that point was North Dakota, actually, for a James Madison, North Dakota State football game.
There you go.
So I didn't even see the state of North Dakota. But no, this is the second time I've ever been on the West Coast. First time in L.A. I'm very excited about it.
So you got the football game. Anything else you're planning to take in while you're out there?
Again, a lot of this is very contingent on travel.
Right.
But
I'm not trying to curse your plans here. Let's just put that out there first.
I would love to go in. I just want to see some of the very classic touristy stuff. Like, I'd love to go to Griffith Observatory if I can over in Burbank. It's a little out of the way, but like, I'm willing to make that happen just to go and experience it, see the Hollywood sign. I've gone back and forth about the idea of doing the Warner Brothers studio tour. I grew up a huge Friends fan. I had lines of Friends quoted at me that, to the point where as a kid I thought they were just sayings that my parents had until I watched the show. Like, I've been indoctrinated in Friends since I was a child.
That's great.
And so I'd love to go see the studio where they actually filmed the show and all of that. So I might do that. I think it just kind of depends on timing, how I'm feeling, all of that too, because at the end of the day I am there for work, so I want to make sure I prioritize that. And then Sunday, I'm thinking I might make an appearance in Disneyland. Go down to Anaheim for an afternoon. I've got the ticket for it, so I'm like, okay, cool. But the nice thing is, like, it's one of those tickets where it extends over multiple periods of days. So if I don't end up doing it or I cancel for whatever reason, it's not going to penalize me. I could also give it to my sister, who is a Disney fanatic and actually works for Disney World in Florida.
Oh, cool.
So
Okay.
It's got a nice little, like, contingency level to it that I'm going to be able to use if I'm not able to get out there. But I did grow up a big Disney fan, so I wouldn't mind getting to experience it.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun day. Of course, there's football to take in, too. Iowa.
Well, yes, of course.
And USC, you have to do your job, unfortunately.
I will say, I fully blocked out. Like, I'm like, it's either Friday or Sunday. Those are my two options, because I got a late night Sunday flight. So I'm like, I could get away with a little bit on Sunday. But Saturday, I'm like, no, we're all football.
There you go. For before we get to the Hawks and USC, obviously another tough loss to the Ducks, or tough loss in general for Iowa to Oregon last week. Just another one of those, right, where they're just so close, yet it's just one or two plays down the stretch that spelled defeat for Iowa. You know, they didn't get penalized too much in the college football playoff rankings, but in the end, having three losses, that's kind of the strike against you when all is said and done. But overall, what were your takeaways from last Saturday's game?
That was a really tough loss to swallow, even just as an outsider looking in, because you're watching this game and you're seeing the buildup that had to it. And it really did feel like, okay, is this the game where that Kinnick magic just does something cool? And when Gronowski scored that touchdown, I think he was like 1:51 to go in the fourth. It was inside the 2-minute warning. I was like, wow. Oh my gosh. They're going to pull this off. And Dante Moore is a great quarterback. We said it last week. I mean, he's going to make an NFL team very, very happy in a couple years. And he made that pass to set up field goal position. And I was like, wow. Like, it just it blew my mind. That two-minute segment between the Hawks getting into the end zone to try and take that lead, and then inevitably that game-winning field goal that Oregon had. I mean, that was some electric football to watch. That is for sure. But it is gut-wrenching if you're an Iowa fan, because that's now twice this season that you've nearly toppled off a college football playoff, basically, like, guaranteed pick into the into the playoff. Like that, because that's what the reality is that you were a couple plays, a screen pass away from beating Indiana, you know, in, back in September before the that first bye week. Coming out of this bye week, you're, you know, maybe one extra play longer just to run down the clock a little bit more away from beating Oregon or something, or making that two point conversion. And so that's a tough pill to swallow. But at the same time, I will also say this. Like, I said it to David Eichold from 247 Sports the other day. I feel like Iowa is just one big ranked win away from just, like, breaking the dam open. I feel like they're, the way that they've played this year, and from my understanding of seasons past and what I've seen from seasons past and stuff, it just feels like they're missing that one – that one big win to kind of get themselves back into a rhythm of the consistent upsetting some of these top 10 teams every year and really kind of garnering that kind of just national merit. I think they have the national merit, especially considering they only dropped one spot. I think that's, I think that shows a great sign of respect from the committee to say, you know what, that they did play Iowa football, but they also took Oregon down to the wire, and that was an impressive thing to do. Because the reality is not a lot of teams have done that. Not a lot of teams have done that at all this year. And so I thought it was an entertaining football game. Definitely a hard pill to swallow. And it's even harder knowing that this next game, Iowa's going to make the cross-country trek. I think if it was at Oregon and then they were hosting USC, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Like, this Kinnick magic, we'll make it work. But, like, that this is a tough one to have, that kind of a heartbreaking loss, and then to get on a plane and drop back 2 hours and do a time zone change and play in a LA Coliseum that hasn't seen a Trojans loss yet this year.
Yeah, that is a tough pill to swallow.
It is.
Just like the two close losses are. Three if you count the Iowa State game, and I know Iowa State's record has kind of tumbled, so maybe if you had pulled that game out, and I'm not dissing the Cyclones at all. Cyclone fans, don't get mad at me on the text line, but they will, trust me. I mean, that the perspective of that game, that win has changed, but Indiana and Oregon have stayed consistent, like you said, so you just being so close but yet so far away, it can weigh on the players. But what I heard this week from Mark Ronowski and everybody that was available Tuesday was, yeah, you know, the what-ifs are there. They do think about them sometimes, but they can't dwell on them. And it was a lot of talk about moving forward onto not just this game this week, but the final three games of the season, right? You were down there in Iowa City and heard the same thing. What were your takeaways just from what the players had to say about their perspective of another close loss, but another opportunity this week against the Trojans?
Well, I think some of it is that you don't have a choice in some sense. When it comes to college football, you don't have the ability to really dwell on anything for very long because of the fact that it is a week to week thing. You have the next game. That's just the reality of it. And so I think there's a sense of maturity within that entire Iowa team that is a pretty mature team, especially the ones that we were talking to on Tuesday, that, you know, there's a sense of understanding that, yeah, this loss sucks. This loss is going to sting and haunt us maybe, but at the same time, like, you can't jump in a time machine and change anything. And, you know, make that outcome any different. The only thing they can do at this point is take what they learned and apply it against USC. And I think that's what they're trying to implement. You know, Mark was saying that, you know, come Monday when they had that first practice, everything looked pretty good. No one really felt like they were dwelling on it, or no one looked like they were kind of harping on the loss, which is a good sign. I think that also just shows the leadership that Kirk Ferentz has with the ability. I know he talks about the 24-hour rule a lot. I've referenced it a few times in my stories, but when you actually see it implemented like that, I think that's a good sign, because not it's one thing to just kind of like say it, but it's another to actually like do it and actually have the ability to make that adjustment. It's not fun to make that adjustment, but at the same time, I think it's a healthy way of learning how to lose. I know we all hate that saying. Trust me, I hate that saying.
Exactly.
Mark said he hated that saying. Like, I don't like saying it, but in a sense, you got to know how, you have to be able to understand how to take a loss and not necessarily let it bother you longer than however long you are allowed to let it bother you. And so for Iowa, that's 24 hours. And because they kind of have a shortened week too, when you think about it, because they got to get out to LA and they got to get themselves adjusted to LA. So, you know, their practice schedule is a little adjusted to accommodate, you know, a flight rather than, you know, a bus ride.
Right.
That's true. Well, what can Iowa do? And you know, you look at each game in particular, the screen pass against Indiana, a missed field goal, that wins you probably that game. Better tackling, that probably wins you that game. If T.J. Hall knocks down the pass, or like you said, there's a little bit more time taken off the clock, or there's not a safety in the first half, maybe Iowa beats Oregon. But just aside from specific plays, what can Iowa do to kind of break that rock or get over the hump and beat a ranked team for the first time and 12 now going on 13 tries with this game against USC?
Well, I think the biggest thing more than anything else is the caliber of football we saw against Wisconsin, we saw against in that second half against Penn State, mm-hmm. we saw against Minnesota in that three-week stretch. That's the kind of football that takes down really good teams. And Iowa is a good football team. I'm not going to sit here and say that they aren't. They are a good football team. They are ranked for a reason by the committee. And I think where it gets a little bit interesting for Iowa is that it's not necessarily they're doing anything wrong. It's just that against some of these ranked teams, it feels like all three phases aren't clicking at the same time the way that they did against Wisconsin and Minnesota and Penn State. And so I guess that would probably be my answer. It's just having those three phases click the way that they did. Mm-hmm. I could tell. I mean, the second that safety happened in the first quarter against Oregon, I was like, oh gosh, if special teams isn't mm-hmm. on point, that's a concern. That's a big concern because that leads ways for Oregon to block a punt, block a field goal, or figure something out to cause even more chaos. Obviously, it sounded like it was one of those scenarios where the ball just went haywire because of the rain. But when you have something like that happen, it does derail you. It absolutely does. Right. And so I think having a game against a ranked opponent where all three phases really click together and mesh well and complement each other super, super highly, that's going to be the key. And I think that we saw flashes of it. We've seen flashes of it, whether it be this season or in season past. It's just a matter of getting to do that again.
Madison Hritzik from the Gazette joining us here on the Countdown to Kickoff show on 1600 ESPN. Let's talk USC. Obviously 7-2, much different than they were through 9 games last year. They were 4-5 through 9 last year, 7-2 this year. So much improved. Offense, they've got some playmakers, a quarterback that's gotten better in year 2 in the system under Lincoln Riley and Jaden Maiava. Mekhi Lemon catches your eye, obviously, at receiver. And then the defense, I was talking with people earlier in the week. I mean, you look at USC just a couple years ago when Caleb Williams was there, and you know, they could outscore people, but their defense could not stop a cold, basically. And that defense has gotten better. They have given up some points this year to Illinois and to Notre Dame and a few other teams, but they've really, I think, finally found the magic kind of elixir, if you will, to get that unit back on track. So this is another tough challenge. We heard that from Kirk Ferentz and the players this week. I'm curious, when you've looked at USC and just how this matchup could unfold, what do you see from them and what challenges do they pose?
USC is a sneaky good football team in the Big Ten. They have been incredibly not talked about, and I feel like that needs to change, and that should have changed like 3 weeks ago. I'm not saying that just because I was playing USC. I feel like I've been doing little like updates around the Big Ten. One, for myself, because I think it's important for me to understand what's going around the conference, but also I think it's important for readers and football fans to understand what's going on around in Iowa's conference. And every week I'm like, USC is just like right there, and no one's talking about this. So I really do think they are thriving on being a little bit of an underrated football team, where they are kind of like quietly good and no one's really acknowledging it. I think that Lincoln Riley really does like that a lot. I will say this, their offense, does it surprise anybody that it's good? No. Does it surprise anybody that their offense is good? Absolutely not. But I think what does surprise me with this offense is just that it's a little bit more balanced than I maybe expected it to be. I feel like it is it's not, Maiava isn't necessarily just throwing the ball. I mean, he's got well over 2,000 passing yards this season, but like, he's not just throwing the ball, and there is some balance. I really like King Miller as their running back. I think he's really good. I like his ability to just find holes and just make something out of nothing. I think that's what he's really good at, is he does kind of seem to find a way to turn something into nothing into something. So that really does stand out to me. I think their defense definitely has improved. Their defensive line isn't as strong as I would think they should be. I think that's probably their one area of improvement. And just in terms of getting to a quarterback, I think that they do a good job of just slowing things down and stopping the run. Obviously, they have one of the better rush defenses in the Big Ten. But in terms of actually getting to the quarterback, they haven't done as much of, at least in terms when you look at how explosive the rest of this team is. So I think that's the thing that stands out to me most, is just how different they kind of are at different positions. But you just look at that offense, you're like, ooh, this could be a shootout really quickly. Yeah. I feel like we might have a little bit of repeat of the Rutgers Big Ten opener for Iowa, where it's like a first half where it's like, all right, who's going to do what? And the second half is just like a total shootout.
Something that I think can give encouragement to Iowa with the run game and how they have constructed their offense and what they do on offense is I'm looking at the Nebraska box score. Emmett Johnson, who's a really good running back for the Huskers, he had 165 yards rushing and a touchdown. On average, 5.7 a carry against the USC defense. So it's clear to me, just looking at that as one game sample size, but there's going to be some opportunities for Kamari Moulton, for Xavier Williams, for Jazz Patterson if he's healthy, and for even Mark Gronowski to get that run game going. It's going to be one of those games where I think line of scrimmage is going to play a huge factor in this. If USC can protect Maiava and get him time, and he's a mobile quarterback too, so he can extend plays if he needs to. That's going to be kind of where this is won or lost. Is that kind of what you see too?
Absolutely. Although I will say, I do like the pattern of every week. We were like, oh, I think this game's going to be on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Breaking down the tough analysis here, you know?
Well, you know, listen, consistency across the conference is something. I will say that.
Yeah, it's true.
No, I do think there's absolutely opportunities for Moulton to have an explosive game, for Gronowski to be able to put up some more runs. I mean, those two alone, I think, did a pretty decent job of trying to break through some of Oregon's run defense last week. I think that Iowa wanted to get the run game going a little bit stronger against Oregon than they ended up doing. I think some of that was just because Oregon just came ready to play, and also it was just that was one of those kinds of environments where it was like you just need the right kind of running back or the right kind of football player that thrives in that environment, and it just wasn't necessarily working the best in Iowa's favor. It was tilting more towards the Ducks.
Right.
It happens. Sometimes you get a little lucky. Sometimes you just have a great day. That's just sometimes not how it works. But I do think the line of scrimmage is going to be huge. I think Iowa's offensive line has the capability of creating the kinds of gaps that Moulton can thrive off of, that Gronowski can create something out of, whether that be running, just taking the ball himself, whether it be extending the play out wide. That obviously just kind of develops as it goes. But I do think that that's going to be, in terms of Iowa's defensive line, I would love to see Max Llewellyn get another sack. It's been a minute since he's had a game where he's just jumped off the defensive line of scrimmage. At least when you just look at the stats, he's always played super consistent. Do not get me wrong.
Right.
But he's got 6 sacks for Iowa right now. I'm like, do we see 7 or 8?
Is that your crystal ball?
That might be my crystal ball this week. Okay. Apparently, I did well when I predicted the defensive things versus the offenses.
Well,
I'm going to stick with defense this week. I'm going to say Max might get a sack or 2.
All right.
This week.
Okay. Max Llewellyn, you heard her first here on 60.
We'll see how this pans out.
He's listening right here, right now. I know he is. We're big in the Iowa football complex. No, I don't know if we are or not. Prediction, is this a win? Look. Iowa's gone to the West Coast plenty of times under Kirk Ferentz and struggled mightily. I'm not supposed to bring up a certain running back from Stanford who ran up and down the field on Iowa in the Rose Bowl. People on the text line get very, very mad at me for bringing up that name. He's now at the San Francisco 49ers. You know who you are out there. I'm not going to say the name because you got mad at me earlier in the week. But the West Coast has been a house of horrors at times for Iowa. Now, granted, the last time they played USC was a win in the Holiday Bowl back in 2019. So they've had a little bit of success there. Maybe things are tilting back in their favor. But road game, sounds like it's going to rain, you know, all these different factors. Can Iowa win this game? What do you think happens?
I think it's a winnable game for Iowa. I do. I think when I did my initial season preview and just kind of broke down the game, I did have Iowa winning this game. I think then I was thinking it would be a little bit more of a dramatic win. And maybe it was because I didn't necessarily know how good USC was going to be this season. I mean, right now I'm looking at the betting lines and USC's favored by 6.5. So a touchdown, which is pretty standard at this point. I would say.
Right.
I feel like every game has just been by like a touchdown or by like 3 points.
3.5 to 6.5.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Somewhere in that range. I think Iowa has the ability to win this game. I think if the defense can get a couple turnovers, force Maeva to make some difficult plays and get him uncomfortable, if the line of scrimmage can push around USC both on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, I think you open up an opportunity to win this game. I'm going to stick with my guns and I'm going to go by a field goal. I think it's going to be like one of those like 21-20 kind of games.
Sure.
It's not necessarily a thing where I'm like, okay, a game-winning field goal kick is going to be what does it. I don't necessarily think that's what it's going to be. I think it's just going to be maybe it's a two-minute drive that just goes together really, really nicely, or maybe Iowa gets the fast start that they've been wanting all year, mm-hmm. and that ends up being the separation. Lord knows they're probably going to take the ball first. Unless Lincoln Riley decides to play a little bit of mind games like he did against Northwestern with the quarterback fake punt scenario.
They were supposed to get in trouble for that, and they didn't.
That was very strange trying to make my brain comprehend that last weekend.
one thing to point out, too, before I let you go, there's a lot of pressure on USC right now, I think, too.
Because
you talk about them, they're 17th in the college football playoff. They've got Iowa this week. They go to Oregon next week, and then the big rivalry with UCLA, and they'd probably be favored against UCLA because the Bruins have gotten better, but they're not on USC's level. But they've got two really important games here, and it's up to them to live up to the kind of, I don't want to say hype, but kind of get done what they need to get done to put themselves in position to get to a college football playoff, because they're kind of in the same boat as Iowa. Another loss probably takes them out.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're 7-2. So if they 7-3, probably has you on the outside looking in. So this is a big weekend for them, too. And if you're Iowa, maybe there's an opportunity there to make them crack under pressure. I don't know how they handle things, but that certainly could be a factor in a game like
this. I feel like Iowa does do well when the Hawkeyes have a little bit of like backs pressed against a wall, but at the same time, I also feel like they do a really good job of forcing other teams to have their backs pressed against a wall.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where when you put the national perspective into the picture, I think that's where I do kind of lean towards Iowa a little bit in this one, because I'm like, okay, I like the fact that, you know, Iowa, they're not playing with something weighing on the back of their minds mm-hmm. anymore. Like, this isn't something where it's just like it's beaten everywhere, like, oh, if Iowa does this, they'll go on to win they'll go on to get a spot in the college football playoff or whatever. USC does have that a little bit. They went out, there's a chance they get in, and I think that Iowa just has the ability to just play free, play fun,
yeah,
go enjoy it. I mean, Bo Stevens said it earlier this week. He's like, I'll play in a parking lot if I have to. And I'm like, honestly, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of mentality you need to have when you make a West Coast trip like this. This is just like, it doesn't necessarily matter. Is the LA Coliseum a really cool venue? Absolutely. But apparently Bo Stevens is perfectly fine being an offensive lineman in a parking lot somewhere. So I think
Lindale
that works.
Mall, let him up. Yeah, really. Coral Ridge Mall, get him out there. Yeah. All right, Madison, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.